start this. It is now running.
Okay, I guess the meeting will come to order. This is the Technical Advisory Task Force meeting, and we're here to review some of the proposals. So we'll do roll call.
Jim Fuller.
Peggy Hawker.
Pete Lawson.
Ann Siglio.
Joe Hayward.
And Frank DeFelipis.
I need to lead off with a declaration. I guess that's what you would call it.
Uh-huh.
Because I work for the same agency as one of the proposers, I just want to make it clear. I thought I saw some movement over there.
Charlie.
Yeah.
So which proposal? Proposer.
So I work for NOAA.
For NOAA.
Oh. So I just want to make it clear that...
disclosure.
That, yeah. So who do you work for, Charlie?
I don't work for anybody, but I know everybody.
Okay.
Pete has to finish his disclosure.
Yeah, Pete's got the floor for a second.
This is CYA. So I make it clear that I don't... have any financial interest. I don't gain anything from this proposal. I know both of the proposers, and I feel like I, both the NOAA and the OSU one, and I feel like I can make a fair, impartial evaluation of the proposals. But
any objections?
The most important thing is that I have no interest, financial or professional, in.
So are you going to be working on this at all? Or is it
I will have area? Nothing to do with it.
Okay.
He's in fact,
section.
You didn't even know that you submitted, did you?
That's right.
Okay. Thank you.
Anybody else need to declare anything?
Yeah.
You need to say you're here.
Charlie Clavin, present. And I do similar situation. I don't work, but I do know all of the principal investigators and some of the co-principal investigators in both of the proposals. I don't see it being a conflict of interest or a bias in any way, but I should disclose that I know these people and have actually worked with the Hapell Lab in the past, specifically on, looking over previous permit applications and evaluations of the outfall. So they have little knowledge. Actually, Selena Hapell, I guess, is the person I should know who. She does have previous knowledge of this, but not with respect to the bioaccumulation survey. I have no financial ties to either one of these, nor gains of any way, so I don't see it being a conflict of interest.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any concerns or
no,
that we need to
No, no. I think that not to have done that would have raised questions.
Okay. Anybody else? No? So I guess you wanted to kind of give us an outline on the criteria here?
Well, actually what I just wanted to do was review the process for tonight. I communicated with both sets of proposers, and the proposers will be coming in, one NOAA at 5:45 and OSU at 6:15. And the reason that they are here is to respond to any questions that any of you might have formulated based on the proposals that they submitted. That's one thing. Also, we have the evaluation criteria and ranking forms, which you... When you finish talking to the proposers and you begin your evaluation, you can use this form. But anything that you use, any notes that you make regarding this need to be turned in at the conclusion of this meeting.
Can I ask a question on that?
To identify ourselves on the form?
Yes, please. And then also, if anyone needs it, there is a copy of the RFP up there, a copy of both proposals, and... that should be it. I mean, I think that we should be good to go.
Were there any questions on that? Or?
I do. I started doing an evaluation on my own just as I read through them.
Too.
Do I have that? Do I need to turn that in with these notes?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Ann has done the same thing.
Okay.
If you decide that you're not going to use these evaluation forms, if you just do it some other way, like write on a notebook or something, you can just turn the notebook pages in. But at the end of the meeting, I mean, hopefully you will all have come to a consensus on a recommendation that we can forward to the City Council for their April, whatever it is, meeting, 16th.
Do we do that at the end of the meeting after people have left?
Well, what I was thinking is once you finish asking questions of the proposers, we can ask them to leave while you deliberate. They don't have to leave, but my sense is they won't want to be here.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's
a little awkward. But the takeaway from this meeting is a decision one way or the other.
And if you can't get to there and you need another meeting, we can do that, but it would be
optimal to
make
to have a decision.
Yeah.
And we leave. Okay.
Yeah. How do people feel at this point, just from reviewing the proposals, about making a decision tonight?
I'm comfortable with making a decision tonight.
Okay.
Are you, Charlie?
I am.
Oh, there
actually.
Is. In the hallway, Joe. No, from right out there in the hall.
I'm not the subject matter expert, so I defer to the quality of their findings and their presentation, but. You know, I can make a decision based on the answering the questions that we've asked, so my weight is not as heavy as your subject matter experts.
I have no expertise in the subject.
This
so.
Good.
Same boat you're in.
Two good applicants.
We did.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. They're fantastic.
Yeah.
I think
that no matter what happens, I'm going to.
And I'm actually really glad the entities that submitted this did, and it's not just a contract entity like CH2ML or something
right.
like that. Not that they don't do good work, but I think that both of these have a bit more closer understanding of ocean conditions and things like that.
I think they both, looked at that. So
I did have a clarifying question, if anybody understands it, before we get into these guys coming. That's between the two proposals. Mm-hmm. And you may understand this best. The tier one, tier two approach versus just a straight out composite analysis. So in the OSU proposal, they proposed this tier one, tier two approach, which I have a little understanding of. I do understand it to some degree. But they don't do that within the NOAA. And so I'm just curious whether or not tier one analysis will be a comprehensive analysis of all the analytes that they listed, or whether or not it would only be a few of those that may trigger a tier two.
I guess I read it as, you could say what you think too, but I read it as kind of boilerplate. In other words, that they were not going to do the equivalent of a tier two unless there was, you know, more money coming down the pike. In other words, that they would just analyze what they got from this study.
Yeah, see, that was confusing to me because...
The analysts that they list that they're going to be performing analysis on, mm-hmm. whether that list is a comprehensive list that will be done during in a tier one analysis, mm-hmm. or whether or not only some of those will be done.
That's a perfect question to ask
for them.
Okay,
yeah.
I just wanted to make sure before I said if somebody else understood that.
Okay. Any other questions or concerns? Because I did have some post discussion comments, but it's not appropriate right now.
And then the other question I guess I have is, or is it appropriate for us to ask them questions in the context of another proposal that we've seen?
I would say no.
Okay.
Not.
Yeah.
I mean, you can ask it, but don't put it in that context.
Right. Like for what one thing jumped out at me is that, you know, OSU mentions how they're going to handle their samples. And that's directly different to how the samples are going to be handed.
Yeah,
they actually note
yeah.
in there that, you know, aluminum foil can cause contamination.
Of metals, right.
And the NOAA one, actually, they're using aluminum foil.
So that's a good question to ask him.
Yes.
Is, you know, but just have you had experience with contamination from aluminum foil?
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
The other thing is that usually my impression is that if you're looking at metals, you don't use aluminum foil, and you have to collect double samples. In other words, you essentially, the equivalent of putting the metals ones in baggies or something that's plastic, mm-hmm. and then the one that's more organic, it goes into either aluminum foil or glass with aluminum foil on the top, and then you crank the top down.
Right.
So usually you have to have two separate sets of samples.
Yeah.
And I had the impression that they both knew enough to do it, but they may not have stated it.
So we can ask those questions.
Yeah. Ask.
But not in the context.
Yeah.
Does it make a difference how far they have to go? So.
Well, we had one that gave a very detailed approach, and the other one was more of a routine approach. And it's the comfort level of the subject matter experts of if that is a valid approach.
Let's find out.
But I mean, the thing is
for them to talk about. Just ask them to talk about it.
Yeah.
And we can make the evaluation.
Do we know who's coming? Is it the principal investigators?
As far as me,
no, it is.
It wasn't clear to me where these samples have to go to be.
They both go out of state. One goes south and one goes north.
Okay.
But actually, the OSU one is spell it out.
We asked for information on subs, but didn't really get it.
So we did get them. Both of them have it.
Yeah, it's
in there for both of them.
Where those things are located?
OSU, it's towards the end.
Quite a detailed discussion.
Yeah, mm-hmm. right.
Well, yeah, yes. NOAA's was a little shorter. They just mentioned who their contractor is, and then they mentioned the qualifications of the contractor.
I'm actually familiar with both of the contractors.
Yeah, I'm familiar with the ones from the OSU one, too. Not so much the ones from the NOAA one.
I put in requests to them when I was working for EPA, so I'm familiar with them and their routines and stuff. The Washington State one.
Well, let me ask you a question. Can we make a decision? Do we need to contact the references before we make a decision, or can we make a decision without that?
We'll discuss that later.
And it may be something that I need to ask the attorney.
Sure.
I mean, you can make a recommendation based on, you know,
the responses,
outcome.
Yeah, responses.
I can tell you, you're going to get nothing but first class
responses. Oh,
classes.
Yeah. Why would you give them
unbiased?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, no.
Sure.
No.
What I was thinking is when they come in,
we
could all
scrunch
down to this end. They could probably sit
at
the table because
I'll scrunch.
I don't think that
if they want them looking over our notes.
Yeah, they can sit at that end, and then that way they won't have to be sitting up against the wall with.
Actually, the power play would be one side. Of me, so.
Well, I was actually, that's what I was thinking.
You're going to have that's like so ridiculous. That's like the most ridiculous thing ever.
What's that?
To get to walk all the way by.
Newport's council chambers, and I go to a lot of council chambers, but Newport's particularly, it's got this, you know, top-down thing in it. And even Portland, they have seating that's above the councilors and the commissioners.
They,
and
you know,
that.
They didn't design this council, and they really don't like that.
It's like, it is so weird, you know.
He needs a throne.
And I guess it really, I realized when we had that meeting, and we were all sitting up there, and I was like, this is so awkward.
Yeah.
And honestly, I think that, like, I never noticed it as much when I was, like, you know, giving testimony and things like that.
I know. It feels weird from up there.
Should we, should I go?
Yeah,
call
if
him?
You want to. That would be great. I want it.
Yes, exactly. Charlie, I actually brought you something. You better. Sometime you've got to give me. It's probably stuff you already know, but it's more pictures.
Who was coming first?
These are all my friends.
No, it's coming first.
You know, it's Wednesday.
Hello, hi.
What's that?
Today is Wednesday.
I do know that. I have people waiting for me.
Hit the watering hole.
I think we can maybe introduce ourselves, or were you at the original orientation? Or?
That's all right. They can still introduce themselves.
I think that you weren't there?
No. You're Noah.
Yes. Well, that's right.
Yeah.
But my name is Derek Dietrich, and yes, I'm from Noah. I work here in town. I've been here since about 2004. My colleague a little bit longer.
1995. And Noah's been here for a while.
And you are?
I'm Mary Arkush.
Okay. So we just have to record the meeting. I'm Frank DeFelipis.
This is Jim Fuller. Okay. And I'm Peggy Hawker.
Pete Lawson.
Dan Siglio.
Joe Hayward.
Charlie Platton.
So we reviewed your proposals. And this is more of a Q&A session. Provide some clarity of you know, some of the items that has been found from the task force. So maybe to start, do you want to open with anything talking about your proposal?
I think just to start, just maybe a little bit more introduction. Beyond Mary and myself, there are five other investigators. That includes another individual from Newport, Erica Cruz, that involved in the groundfish survey for NOAA for close to a decade now. She actually would be here, except she's currently on a research vessel off American Samoa. And then we have four other investigators that are, again, work for NOAA, at the Fisheries Science Center in Seattle. And that is where our chemistry labs are based. So, unfortunately, we don't have a chemical specialist, the analyst with us today, but any other questions, we'll try to handle as we can. We are part of the division that has been doing environmental monitoring and ecotoxicological assessment for, well, I guess the program is sort of born out of the Exxon Valdez oil spill. So we have responded to natural as well as human derived incidents that have caused monitoring to take place, such as SLDs, the Deepwater Horizon oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico, Hurricane Katrina, as well as the Costco sand down in the San Francisco Bay. And then we also do routine annual sampling in the Puget Sound, as well as the Columbia River and Estuary. So we have a long history of doing this. The different members of this team have all participated in different aspects of different projects in terms of doing actual chemistry analysis in the labs versus field surveys and doing the collections and then statistical assessments as well. So that's just sort of our introduction to ourselves a little bit more in depth.
Okay. One of the other things is, you know, we all have, I don't know if it's an official signing, but there's no conflict of interest. If there's some, I know it's a small community, everybody seems to know one another, but we feel that we can make an unbiased decision. So there are two proposals received, yours and another, and so I'm going to go ahead and start. Any questions and answers? Who would like to start?
Well,
Before we jump into any questions, can we move, if we have questions, through the proposal, like, so that we're not bouncing around, maybe?
That's a good idea.
Okay.
But my question was, right at the beginning, is do you have any, or that's the wrong way to phrase it, what is your interest in this outside of simply doing the work? In other words, do you have professional interests that you're going to further by doing this work?
Well, number one, it's actually real nice for us to work close to home. Mary did some work in the Yucuna Bay years ago, but this is actually the closest project we've had as far as proximity. But then it's also an opportunity for some of the junior members in our group to have some of these field sampling protocols with more experienced members within the center that may be retiring and phasing out of our program. So it's we do get an added benefit from actually on-hand experience with part of this project. And then in terms of looking forward, one of the things that we don't have for our group is actually baseline data for the Oregon coast. Like I mentioned, we have a lot of sampling up in the Columbia River, an estuary, a Puget Sound, but nothing here along the coast. Our group has talked at different times in terms of if there was to be incidences in the Puget Sound or even along here on the coast, what would happen in terms of looking at the environmental baseline values before an incident versus after an incident. For example, there happened to be an oil spill or some other natural disaster. It's really nice to have baseline data of a healthy environmental system. And so we get also some background data. So whether we are actually the ones doing this work or the other applicants, we're going to benefit from that data as well.
It's also kind of nice to know what's going on in your own backyard. And we haven't really had that opportunity until now. We saw the RFP after your guys had that first initial meeting. And I was, you know, doing a web search, and I came up and showed it to Joe. And we just got real excited to say, hey, what is happening in our own backyard? Because we do raise fish here locally. We use the water. We use the system. And we want it to be healthy.
Okay. So moving from the beginning of the proposal down, is there any questions regarding that you would have after page 2? The type of effluent, the description of the bioaccumulation. Any questions or concerns on page 3?
I had a question regarding your site selection for reference sites. Just curious why you chose those two. I know that obviously you're trying to coincide with the CH2M Hill survey that was done, but just curious why you picked
those
particular ones.
Those were the two that we thought you requested in the RFP.
Well, I think we left it open, didn't we? We said you could use those or other sites. I just didn't know.
Yeah, we took that in the RFP as actually.
Okay.
Specifically selecting those two out of the three reference sites.
Okay. I just didn't know if there was one a feature of one area or another area that stood out to you.
And we could also build off on the CH2M Hill report with their aquatic work and their sediment chemistry. It's a good idea to continue.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. Yeah.
Quick question. A sufficient number of animals of each type. Do you think the sample sizes will be?
So the 10 fish or 10 animals per composite is our target, but for as if we have to move down, for example, the mullet's target from razor clam to some of the hog snail, the size of that organism gets smaller, so we're going to have to collect a greater number in order to get our minimum sample size to run.
I was wondering, when we came up with 10, I don't know if that's going to be enough sample size to get a representative of what's out there.
Well, it would be 10 samples per composite, and then proposing 3 composites per site.
Does that give enough of a statistical analysis?
It's the bare minimum.
Bare minimum.
Yeah. And unfortunately, that is also the bare amount we can do for the rental cost.
Right. Yeah, I just had some concerns on the sample sizing versus getting accurate representation of what is there. Too small of a sample, they know what you were using for your minimum sample size or your number of samples.
So 10 per composite is a solid number for numbers of species per composite. To be honest, it'd be nice to boost up the composite number to 5 or 6, but with the budget, that would not be possible. Okay.
In the monitor studies in the Columbia River and Puget Sound, that's typically what we do, or 3 composites, and it does. You can see a difference if there's a hot spot or something going on. At least it'd be a good initial start.
Okay.
I had a question about the otter trawl. I'm not familiar with the Puget Sound protocols, so is an otter trawl what's recommended for through those protocols for the collection?
So the yes, the it is recommended for the flatfish for English sole, for example, and the two otter trawls that we have available, the smaller one, which is the 7.6 meter, would probably be best suited for the depth that we're looking at. It's a shorter trawl time as well to minimize the impact.
What's the trawl time?
5 minutes.
5 minutes.
The other one is typically for deeper water, and that has a recommended 20-minute trawl time.
Any other questions for the approach?
One other question. Do you guys, I didn't see pots or other collection methods, so I...
So for the sediment sampling, it would be a box core, which actually, there's these two box cores are modified box core, or this box core is a modified box core that actually was made for another NOAA employee, Bob Emmett, years ago. Okay. And they made two at one time. The OSU other applicants actually had the other one. So there's...
That's for your infauna, but I'm I guess Dungeness crab. Are you guys going to trawl those?
Yes.
Or okay?
Do you put that in there specifically? How the is that for all the?
It's in the approach.
Yeah, I thought I saw it in there, but pots. Okay.
But they don't have pots. They're doing it through the trawl.
Okay. Any other questions on the approach? How about target animals? We gave an outline of what we were looking for, what we felt was sufficient in the RFP. So you get to you provided some process documentation on page 4.
I have a question on page 4. As you talk about analyzing fillets and muscle tissue, edible tissue, in the RFP, it suggests whole animal analysis, and we had a lot of discussion among our group about what was the best way to do it, and we'd like to hear why you settled on those.
We were actually going to return the question to you as well. so the two whole animal versus edible tissue comes down to a question of
composite or not.
Well, you can composite both. I mean, you can composite either whole tissue or you can composite the edible tissue. But it comes down to the actual research question. Are we concerned with seafood safety, or are we actually concerned with the question of purely bioaccumulation, which you can look at toxicity to the animal with the whole body, and you can also get an inference towards seafood safety. But if you take the whole body and you have some stomach contents with contaminants, but if you actually go out recreationally, grab that crab, you're not going to eat the stomach contents. So it's not a concern for seafood safety. So what we were, except for the direction for the whole body collection, we weren't really sure what the target question was in the RFP, whether it's seafood safety or actual species population, strict bioaccumulation question. The methods in terms of once you either fillet or take the whole body, compositing, running the chemical analysis is going to be the same. So it's something we can adapt to. The task force says that the seafood safety is less of an angle. But
we say something about having the guts removed.
Well, it's one way of, I think that for doing whole sample analysis is that sometimes it's recommended to remove the guts.
It's for, like you're saying, contamination.
Well, it's
stomach contact.
It's whether kind of reflecting a more accurate risk as far as seafood safety.
I think we actually went back to what Pete said. I think we discussed this pretty thoroughly in that we really didn't feel like we were going to make a whole lot of conclusions on seafood safety given our sample size that we were going to be able to achieve and the limited funding. And I think the greater question of bioaccumulation and toxicity with those animals was of interest. So I think we settled on whole animal.
And if, yeah, we did.
And if it came to where it needed to be further studied, then we could go into tissue sampling.
Yes, but even whole animal usually means that they're depurated at least. I mean, you don't.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So I guess the question would be, for you guys, then, would you be able to modify that approach
for a whole animal? Yes.
And plus, if it is for depuration, for that looking at ecosystem or ecosystem health, animal health, these three target species, we would treat them a little differently. Like the depuration for the mollusks,
absolutely.
We would need to do.
Yeah.
We need to get rid of their stomach contents.
Yeah.
And then necropsy for the fish. I mean, rather than filleting, we would actually just remove the stomach contents.
Right. And then my next question, I guess, would be then, if, given that methodology, would you be doing a composite with these fish, and same approach as far as a composite versus an individual?
Either way, that way you get to look at 10 individuals in one sample,
right,
as opposed to one individual. You just have three individuals. Mm-hmm. So you get kind of a full picture of 30 fish
Yes. And then the key is just the homogenization protocols to make sure that all those fish, the entire whole body is homogenized properly amongst that entire composite for your subsampling. Because you will have for example, an English sole, you have a lot more tissue than is actually needed.
It's a big blender.
Ugly business.
So, Pete, did you have any additional questions on four or perch or? Or anybody in the room, I'm sorry.
Just a quick comment at the very top of page 4 of the proposal that says the animal will be wrapped in aluminum foil and et cetera. If you're really going to look at metals, do you really mean that?
Yes, we will not be looking at aluminum.
The
metal list is detailed in the back. There are, that's an established protocol to use aluminum foil to wrap. One of the bigger concerns is actually protecting the tissue from plastics within a bag, so preventing that interaction. In extreme situations, you actually can take the aluminum foil and completely rinse it, wash it with acetone to remove any potentially contaminating species on it.
Okay.
Are you going to include the shells?
No.
The shells go away.
Yeah.
So that, you don't think that would be, how would that skew the results?
To be honest, I am not familiar with partitioning these contaminants into the shell. Typically, they like to, they don't like water, so they would partition into the lipid tissue that's within
the fats. And the
yeah. And so that's where they should be.
Okay.
And that's also where the health effect would occur, related to consumption as well as the actual animal.
When we said whole body, I didn't know where would that line of the spirit go. The whole body will not include.
Will not include like the carapace or the shell.
Oh, for crustaceans as well. Then.
Yeah.
Not just mollusks. Okay.
So also on page 4, were we looking for, you know, I'm just asking, were there any other additional questions for the target fish that were identified or the mollusks? Did we feel comfortable with those responses? I'm asking the task force. Mm-hmm. Moving on to page 5. Okay, so sample and composite preparation. Were there any questions or concerns or clarity here? Okay, so how about the analytical chemistry section on page 5? Okay.
This is not my area of expertise, and do you have look at this to your questions about the analytical portion?
The analytical portion looked good to me.
Okay. Page 6, continuance on the
analytical portion.
Yeah.
Okay, moving them right along. Page 7, quality assurance criteria, PAPS analysis. Any questions? The concerns, okay. Metals. Those are the target metals that we feel comfortable with.
I think I had a question on the metals.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess it wasn't clear to me which metals is it this
yeah,
list then? Okay.
Yeah. So there's a question that we had as well in terms of I think you identified in the RFP up to 35 metals. We've selected those 8 based on what was in GP's MPDS permit, as well as what's recommended for fire accumulation surveys by the EPA. So I don't know if there are any other specific interests in those 8 metals in.
So this, the other ones. This is what they're required to report on.
Correct.
So if they're not required to report on it, they're not measured for it.
So they are actually required to report on
the number 2.
Yeah, the superscript with the 2s. So then the EPA recommends collecting additional.
So the arsenic, mercury, selenium, and tin are outside their permit.
Yes.
And I actually appreciate the depth of scan that's involved here, even though a lot of this stuff isn't necessarily associated with the effluent discharge, just from an ecological standpoint. I think it's good information to have.
No copper, though.
No copper, and we have not looked at copper in other studies, and it's mainly because of a self-regulating that occurs within fish. If copper is present at a high level within the water column, it's going to be supremely toxic to the fish. If it's present at all, the copper itself is a micronutrient for that fish, so it actually needs it within its system, and so it'll keep that balance, and it won't be representative to what's in the outside environment.
So it'll purge whatever, or use whatever it needs, and then if it's so great, it'll especially be toxic to the fish.
Okay.
Exactly. So we would have seen copper in the CH2M Hill study if that was something really of concern.
Okay, so anything else on metals? Okay, how about data and statistical analysis?
I guess we're looking at info.
No. Yeah, we did jump, huh?
Yeah.
No, that's fine.
Deliverables, that's the big one.
No data dumps, right? It's readable and important.
We have
the
data too.
I had a deliverable question. And you mentioned in your, just your intro and proposal, and it's more of a schedule question where you have people, all over the place and certain people can't be here. Would that impact a deliverables timeline? Would you know of?
I actually think the in the RFP, the 8 months timeline after sampling occurs is a pretty comfortable amount of time. We will actually have a narrower focus in terms of actually having those samples analyzed for the different constituents in a timely manner, because there are certain limitations on how long you can actually hold that sample before measurement. So we're going to want to get those samples run and analyzed quickly after collection. And then, it's going to be wading through the data doing the statistical comparisons, but I think the 8 months timeline is actually quite comfortable, even for the different members that we have. And also, to be completely honest, do the sampling in late summer, early fall. Winter is usually a downtime for us anyway.
Time to do analysis, the statistics.
Are there any other deliverable questions? No? Okay. Statement of qualifications. Quite a bit of qualifications.
So, the Northwest Fisheries Science Center is going to obtain any permits would be determined by them. That must be you.
That's us.
That is you? Okay. This is Northwest Fisheries Science Center. Okay.
So are the all the analysis going to be done in-house?
All of the what we've identified is that as PLOPs will be done in-house in Seattle. The phenols are no longer run there, so we will be contracting that out, and as well as no metals are run at the Science Center anymore. But the chemists there will be in direct oversight of the protocols at the contractors.
Any other questions on that? Experience, the investigators are listed, and that kind of goes back to the deliverable and time schedule question, which I think you've answered. Projected cost for proposal for services. Any questions or concerns on that?
It comes in less, we get some money back.
Well, that kind of ties into my.
I have a feeling they'll spend every penny. I had a question about this. The sampling costs, obviously your highest line item in here. Is that reflective of boat time? Or where is the majority of that?
So in nested within each of these are labor as well. Uh-huh. So labor and boat time are included in that sampling. We have the trawls available to us, but we put in additional funds to make sure that those lines are in proper repair.
Okay. So that includes all the any equipment purchases and everything is right. In your sampling line in there.
Okay.
Makes sense.
Okay. Any other questions on top? And it looks like you have a lot of reference material here. I have something that associates with cost and overall value, and that is when we did the initial kickoff meeting, if you will, the release meeting, I kind of made a statement to face it, I'm cheap, but is there any value add things that this can extend into that's not written here? Because what I'd like to see is, you know, this is, to me, it seems like it's a one and done type of proposal. Is there something that this builds onto that I'm not seeing?
Well, there's nothing in-house currently going that this builds off of. What we're hoping is, I mean, Mary and I are evaluated in terms of publications as well. So we would want to get this information published as well. And so that's an added benefit in terms of actually having your data out there and having, fortunately, you know, probably a recreational audience that is going to pick up the journal and say, oh, I'm going to go to Newport because of the study. But it does still put Newport forefront in terms of some current sampling data. And then, again, as I mentioned, in the future, we'd like to see this data set available in terms of if in our laboratory, which we do exposure assessments, what is the background levels, what are present, and then what potential effects that could be having on different species. We work in the lab a lot with salmon. We've also started to work in with Pacific cod. So knowing some background levels essentially sells future work because we're talking about environmentally relevant concentrations. And in order to know environmentally relevant concentrations to work within the lab, you have to do studies like this in order to have those concentrations.
Would it be a segue to any grant opportunities? Because if this leads to one piece of information that needs action or reoccurring action, is there anything that would tie in this be tailored to that, or is that what you were just explaining as far as your baseline and then?
Well, yeah. So I can't think of any specific one future RFP from another source that we would be targeting immediately after this. But in any of the projects that we work on, that's our mindset. You know, where can we build off of from one project to the next? What, you know, building a constant supply of data and experiences to your point.
We have, like, for an example, we had a monitoring study in Lower Columbia River on PBDEs and salmon, how much PBDEs were taken up in their diet, and they went out and did a monitoring study 1 year and published it. And EPA came out with a request for proposals to look at potential effects to on POPs in fish in Puget Sound. So we took that data, that PBD data, that we, so we knew how much the fish were eating, and we can mimic that here in the lab. So they actually funded our work, even though they were interested in the effects of this kind of contaminant in Puget Sound. We could have our, we had our little laboratory here, and we could mimic all that was occurring in Puget Sound. So we had the concentrations, we could make the diet, we could feed the fish, and then we looked at effects. And our specialty is immune function and disease susceptibility. So that's what, so it can carry forward. This is the very first step, and then we're always on the lookout for more, just like this. Does that make some sense?
Okay, thank you. Round table, any other questions or concerns? Clarity?
Do you have anything else?
Well, we actually had a similar question. You know, what is your next step related to this data? And you didn't have any questions related to the other objective of, you know, a risk assessment plan if chemicals were found, but is that the next step to move on towards a more detailed risk characterization if chemicals are found? Or is this, again, not the data dump, but just purely to generate data to see if there's anything there?
I think it's kind of both of those things. One, I think that we wanted to address concerns raised by citizens about the unknown of what wasn't covered maybe in the CH2M Hill study. I think people just because of that outfall are really aware of the lack of monitoring in our near shore. And so people become more and more aware of that. So there is an interest in having the data. But I think it's also to try and ease some concerns that maybe had or find out if they're relevant concerns about the animals and the impacts to the animals in the areas. And so the CH2ML study really was kind of that tier one approach of just screening some of the sediment and water quality parameters.
So I think what our mission here is just to get this on board, get it done, and then what comes out of that, I guess the city will decide with our recommendations or whatever to continue on.
Yeah, that would be up to the city entirely.
We're just to
I think yeah. I think if there's remarkable findings of some sort, that things will sort of organically happen because of that. Yeah. I think it will trigger responses from various entities and groups and things like that.
I think if there's no remarkable findings, then hopefully the city will use that to reassure the public in some way too.
Yeah.
Sure.
We just want to see what comes out of it. Then we'll know.
We need to know.
Nobody's ever done it before.
Yeah.
You know, honestly, I feel like we're at least kind of starting to break some ground here, even with the CH2ML study. Nobody's ever done really much extensive monitoring in the near shore in Oregon, and I think that's something that needs to be happening. So.
So, and a kind of an interesting thing that Joe and I were wondering about it was that, you know, the invertebrates that they collected. Species eat these things, and it would have been very interesting if they could have taken that and done some chemistry on the invertebrates, as well as done.
We were all aware of that. You had the animals in the lab, you collected them. Why didn't we just go ahead and screen them?
Mm-hmm.
So the animals.
They weren't being paid to do that. They didn't.
No, they did exactly what they were paid to do. Period.
So is there anything we should be doing here that we've missed or anything you might recommend in your experience that you could do that would be of any value since you're doing it out there anyway?
Well, I would like to see more money for more samples. that's me. The one thing that we also went back and forth on, you know, I think the troublesome species here is going to be the razor clam. And there's mention of potentially, you know, the ability to collect razor clam off the beaches. And that's going to be a really tenable link to a GP outfall without actually also having those animals near the outfall, so you can make that link of nearship, you know, intertidal species with a subtitle near it, and whether they actually are correlated.
Yeah, but the reference areas would give you that contrast, I would think.
The what?
The reference areas as well would give you that contrast.
Yeah, and so, I mean, there's potential, but if, you know, if there's any, you know, dilution with distance as well, you're going to...
And ultimately, there are storm drain outfalls that
exactly.
are polluted in the area. There is the Newport wastewater discharge that's right in that vicinity. So any findings will be very difficult to tie directly to.
Yeah.
And you know, as you know how that is.
Yeah.
It'll be very easy to point to non-point source pollution for any of this stuff, mm-hmm. but very hard to point to a single point.
Is there anything else you can do in the lab with your own people that won't impact us or anything that you can gain from the knowledge of having the samples and base studies for yourself or for other purposes?
The only thing that I've put forward is that our other principal investigator, Erica Frew, does complete surveys, and she's done some hypoxic sampling near these areas. It's a larger sampling effort to do these trawls and then also speciate every single thing that you catch and do a catch per unit effort. But it's one thing that we could consider, that she could consider. She's going to, you know, see about what extra.
I'm going to have to stop you. Yeah. We went over time and I did poor time management here. But I think we have our questions answered because we have the next bidder coming in at 5 minutes ago, 6:15. So I'm bad.
Thank
you
guys so much for your time and effort putting into this and sitting down with us and answering questions.
Yeah, very, very.
Well, like I said, we're going to be interested in the data either way, so we're glad that it's taken on.
Thank you.
Anyone want to take a 5 minute break? Just keep on going.
I think that we're over time.
Do you want to take a bio break?
I'm fine. I got my potty break before I came
in. I'm going to. Be right.
You want to make it? If you want to make it,
thank you.
Water where the real business happens.
Oh. Yeah, that's a great little water hole. Oh, yeah. We needed that really bad. Broad base, there's no.
What did you talking about?
Oh, we got a little local watering hole, beer one, and they get all kinds of vanilla, OSHA, people from.
It's the Hatfield Wednesday, Friday beer spot.
Where is it? It's on 101.
Uptown.
It's right next.
You can get a good
mix. Near Moby's.
It's right next to the surf shop, Ocean Pulse.
It's a bottle shop.
So essentially, it's right smack in the middle of town.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it's just a fun place to meet good people and drink. And it's $3 pint next.
And
we're still in
the same block
being recorded,
as Mazatlan.
So. Okay, I realize what they meant now when they
said this is what Obama told the Russian firm. Turn off the tape recorder. Which I will.
No, we're going to get all this.
Oh, this is going to be
good,
in the city.
It's good material for somebody.
It's good advertising for Lou.
We can turn that off till Frank comes back.
You want to turn this off?
Because Joe's